Welcome to the audio teaching ministry of the Father's House. We hope and pray that you're both challenged and encouraged by this time in the Word.
Didn't you like that guy on the video this morning? Man, it made me miss him. We're going to have a talk about him going to heaven without me, by the way, someday. When I get there, we're going to have a little discussion. Isn't that what you call your arguments, discussions? That's what we're going to have when I get there. It's not going to be argument because it's in heaven and we're going to be perfect, but nonetheless, we're going to talk about it. But in the meantime, here we are left on earth. He left us here, and we have a mission to accomplish. There's a reason why you're alive, breathing here on planet earth, because there's a mission to accomplish, a purpose that God has called you to. And I want to just commend you as a church. You're absolutely amazing, amazing individuals. Your faith and your generosity is noted around the world. It's not limited to just this community, but people speak about it around the world because I've had the opportunity to go to a few places, and you're famous for your giving, for your love, especially for your benevolence. And I just want to commend that this morning and tell you, well done, good job. But you know what the reward of work well done is? More work. You're not done yet. There's still so much more to do until there's every person on planet Earth has come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We have more work to do. Amen? And the building is just a means to the end. God's going to complete that building for you, and I just believe it's going to be done in a supernatural manner. Now, I know this is Commitment Sunday, and you're going to come at the end of the service and bring your commitment card, and I brought mine last night. I'm committed to your success, too. I believe in you, and I want to see something supernatural happen here, and I want to be a part of it. How many know it's like getting in on penny stock at Microsoft? How many wish you'd done that? Because you'd be a millionaire today. Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing better that you can invest, not Microsoft or Google or anything, nothing better than investing in the purposes of God. How many know the return is not just temporal? How many know the return is eternal? That you're going to be able to take your investment to heaven with you, not in the form of money, but in the form of people being saved as a result of your obedience. That's the best investment that you can make. That investment lasts forever. And when I think about this church, I can't help but think about this scripture in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give, this by the way was one of my husband's favorites, give away your life and you'll find it given back. Not merely given back, but given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Giving, not getting, is the motive of this church. It's the plan. It's the purpose for which God has given you greater influence and greater opportunity. And then it goes on and says, generosity begets generosity. Love that part. Because it's true. Generosity is like a catalyst for more generosity. Generosity causes more generosity, generates more generosity, spawns more generosity, perpetuates more generosity. And we're not just talking about in terms of the church, but we're talking about even outside of the church. This church is an example to this community. This church is an influence to this community. It's like you're raising the water table of generosity in this community. When you are out there every Sunday morning painting off graffiti, and congratulations to those who do that, you're going to have a special place in heaven, at least a special jewel in your crown. That's an amazing thing, what you're doing. Don't take it lightly. You are touching this community in a very practical way for the name of Jesus Christ and the influence of righteousness. You are an evangelist. You are speaking right to the very life of individuals in your investment time and energy. Congratulations. Job well done. And so this church is their greatest legacy. The greatest legacy you're going to leave after, obviously, your influence for righteousness is your generosity. Do you know what Jesus' heart was to give? What did he come to do? He came to earth to what? To give his life on the behalf of us. To give his life, the Bible says, as a ransom for many. He came to give his very life. And so we too are called to be generous, just like Jesus, in giving our life away. Where our life is equated, you know, as we work a job and we spend time and energy, we're giving back funds, money, as a result of our investment of time and energy. And and that money is a representation of our life. So when we give our money, we're actually giving our life, like Jesus gave his life. And so we're investing in something that's bigger than us, something that will outlast us, something that will have eternal significance. And that's the church. There's nothing better to invest in. There's nothing else that God is building in the earth today but his church. Did you know that? And when you involve yourself in the only thing that Jesus is building in the earth today, how many know that's going to be a good return? It's supernatural. And I believe as you give your commitment cards this morning that, you know, there's going to be more than enough to accomplish what God has called you to do. You know, I remember, I can't help but think about some stories from the city church and from our history. And we actually only pastored 18 years before my husband went to heaven. We're going to, again, talk about that. But he went to heaven, and, you know, and then our son took over, and he's, you know, he's not doing such a bad job. But the kid's doing okay. But you know how you always think you could do better, though. But nonetheless, he's doing a good job. Don't tell him I said that. Okay. It's just between you and me. But I just, I can't help but think of a story. And we were in the midst of purchasing a building. We didn't actually ever build a building, but we did purchase a building. And in the, it was about 5 years into our history as a church, and we had been leasing a building in a strip mall. A strip mall was a strip of stores, not people taking off their clothes, just to clarify that. And in the process of leasing that facility, we had grown and occupied more and more space, and so we'd remodeled more and more of the mall, and so it became very attractive. What was otherwise ugly became attractive, and so our landlord, when our lease came due, went ahead and rented it to someone else without even giving us an option of releasing that property. We were so frustrated, I can't tell you, in that moment, thinking this was the enemy and binding the enemy, and you have to know, we were... You know, my husband especially was so frustrated, he started calling the landlord Pharaoh. And he thought that was a compliment. He Pharaoh. He kind of was Pharaoh. And and he let his people go. And so here we were, about 1,000 people. We were the first church of the homeless. And we had nowhere to go. One of our elders said, Pastor, I think this building, this church building, just came up for sale. It had been tied up for 8 years. We'd only been in the city 5 years. The building had been tied up for 8 years because of a series of circumstances, a large church building. He said, I think you should call the pastor and we should consider going and looking at that building. Well, nonetheless, we went and we saw the building, and through a series of circumstances, we made an offer on the building, and we decided we were going to raise the funds to make the down payment, which was $3 million, which was over our head, way over our head. We had no money. How many know it doesn't matter how much it costs if you have no money? And so we went ahead and we decided we're going to take this commitment offering, and we did our best, and all that came in was half. $1.5 million came in, and it was done. There was no more. There was no more to ask for. We had done our very best, and so, you know, we were in trouble. We were very short, but God told us to do it. God told you to build that building. How many know if it's His will, it's His bill? One of my husband's favorite sayings. If it's His will, it's His bill. And so we just said, Lord, you got to do something. And I believe this is what He's going to do for you, the Father's house. He's going to intervene for you too. He's going to make up the difference if there needs to be. He's going to be there for you. You're not going to run short. You're not going to be delayed in this whole process. It's going to happen right on time according to His purpose. And so here we were, you know, lost in space. We were in need of $1.5 million. We didn't have anywhere to tap into that. And so in the process of praying about it, a couple came to us and said, we'd like to give you a gift. We said, great, what would you like to get? They said, a boat. We were thinking ski boat, wouldn't you? And they said, but you need to come to the shipyards to see it. You keep your ski boat in the shipyards? Isn't that a little overkill? You know, no, Pastor, it's bigger than a ski boat. So we went down. Here it was, an ocean-going vessel. It was a fishing vessel. It's huge. And my husband goes, what do you want me to do with this? You know, I'm not a captain. I don't skipper. I'm not, you know, I don't like water. I'm not, why are you giving us this? They said, no strings attached. You can sell it. Forgetting to tell us that they had it already up for sale for 8 years and not sold it. And so we're thinking, we acquired this ship. We're going to put it up for sale, not knowing that it's can't be sold. But nonetheless, within 4 weeks, that boat sold. For $1 million. Supernatural provision. God kept a building for us For 8 years, 3 years previous to us even coming to Seattle, God tied up that building so we could come to Seattle, grow up, purchase the building, and then kept a ship from sailing so that, our ship could come in and he could provide for us. And then a pastor came to town, over to visit my husband and gave him a check. He said, I'd like to give you this check for your building. And it's a small church in the community, so we're thinking, you know, $5,000, but you don't want to look in the envelope previous, you know, to him leaving. That's awkward, kind of rude too, you know. And so as soon as he walked out of the office, my husband opened the envelope. It was a $500,000 check from another church in town. I'm telling you, God has that kind of provision for you. He's no respecter of persons. He favors his righteous cause, and he's going to favor you because you're involved in doing what he's called you to do for the sake of people, people being saved, lives being touched. You're creating a legacy of generosity. I'm telling you, this community is growing in their generosity because of this church, and God has a special plan and a purpose for you being in that location at that place, and you're going to be there right on time. I have one more scripture I just want to read to you because I think it's just so relevant. And again, one of my favorites, when I thought about you, I thought about the scripture in 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8, verse 8. It says, I'm not trying to order you around, Paul now speaking to the Corinthian church, against your will, but by bringing it up, or bringing up what happened at the city church as a stimulus to your love. Now, you know I added that part in there about the city church. I'm hoping to bring the best out in you. You are familiar with the generosity of our Master, Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor, and we became rich. So here's what I think. Here's what Paul thought. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. Your heart's been in the right place all along. You've got what it takes to finish it up, so go do it. It's your moment. It's your time. You can do this. I believe in you. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jenny. Very encouraging. Love it. Let me just kind of piggyback on what she was saying, that what we do is about people. We know that buildings are not eternal, but what happens on the inside of them is. We know that buildings in and of themselves, brick and mortar, are not spiritual, they're not sacred, but when God's people gather inside them, it is sacred. And the reason that we have converted this shopping center and built the industrial park in Napa and looking for facilities in East Bay is so that people will encounter God. Not just those that come to the 9 services now on the weekend, but those that are coming. I'll keep reminding you of this. There's so many people in your world. They live next door to you. You sit across the cubicle at work. You see them in the grocery store. Your nieces and nephews and relatives that are far from God. God's desire and design is that they would find a local church that loves Jesus and experiences the presence of God, and that you would be one who opens the door for them. You'd be that living invitation, and that someday they would stand in the house of God. Again, not to be in a building, but to be in his presence. And so that's why we do what we do. If you're here today and you're a guest, thanks for being with us. Come back next week as we start this series. But this is a unique day where the people of God, the people of this community, are making commitments to help us finish this campus. But I'm glad you're here if you're a visitor, first time, second time, because you will see something quite unique, I think, and that is hundreds of people that will make a commitment of their time and their energy and their finances in order to establish a place that will be a catalyst for lives being changed for all eternity. And that is what we are all about. It's the stories. You know, I know in this gathering today in East Bay and Napa, by the way, greetings. Good to have you guys with us. Church online, Sunday night, the rest of y'all. Good to have you. I know there's stories that are represented by your life. And I love hearing the stories of our marriage was all but over. And we came to a marriage seminar, a marriage small group, and God restored us. Or the stories of addiction. I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't get off that or it, or couldn't get over it, and went to celebrate recovery. And again, you realize, wow, God has an intention for people that don't look like Christ followers. They don't look like church people. And those are the people that Jesus hung out with when he walked this earth. In fact, the religious folks, the stodgy synagogue-attending folks, were insulted by the company that Jesus kept. And Jesus has not changed. I'm just telling you, his arms are open wide, and he wants to prepare a table where the messed up, the disenfranchised, the addicted, the non-church folks are welcome in his house. Amen? Even to the expense of offending the religious in the community. And hopefully that's none of you. You know, I had an experience this week. This week I got to meet with two different guys that are struggling with heroin addiction. And because of kind of my testimony and past, people have reached out in that area. And I love sitting down with folks that are struggling, getting off drugs, and just tell them about the hope and the grace that's in Jesus and the future. And so anyway, I ran into a mom in an aisle in Lowe's. I'm doing a little home improvement, and I've run into all kinds of church people at Lowe's. I ran into the same guy three times in 1 week. At first, we just kind of bonded, and then we need a little counseling on aisle 17, and then almost turned into a small group. If you need pastoral ministries, I'll meet you at aisle 17 at Lowe's. We'll get together, bring some donuts. It's pretty cool. And so anyway, I run into this lady, and she stops me, and she says, could you meet with my son, and told a little bit of her story. So I said, yeah. So we had coffee this week, and I'm sitting across the table from a guy in his early 20s who's got some addiction to heroin and really struggling to get cleaned up. And so I'm giving him, just my thoughts and some strategy and tell him about CR and 30-day rehab and all that. And in the middle of it, kind of toward the end, all of a sudden we had a prophetic moment, and I just started speaking over God's version of him. I said, let me just tell you what God sees in you. And I just started going down the line. He gets clean and sober. He gets planted in the house of the Lord. Gets accountability and some brothers walking alongside of him and celebrate recovery. Gets grounded in the word. His gift and calling begins to surface in his life. He develops great relationships. God brings a woman of God into his life. He finds purpose. And then God uses his story to change hundreds of other people that are bound. I mean, we're having a little moment at the coffee shop. Why? Because that's God's vision. It's people. People that are far from him. And just to remind you, that is why we do what we do. And it is because of the investment. Listen, the sacrificial investment of hundreds and hundreds of people that sit right in these seats every week, that never hold a microphone, that you know, don't prepare sermons, but they're pillars in the house. They're those that support and invest and serve and give. And I just want to take about 2 minutes and let you hear from some of these people, their experience and their testimony and word of encouragement. And then I'll read you a few verses and we'll pray together. By the way, the media team interviewed a lot of people. Not everybody made it past the editor's cutting floor. So if your interview is not on the video, just know this. They're watching the full version in heaven. Angels are high-fiving. It's great stuff, all right? So check this out. It's great.
We just love this house, and we believe in the vision of this house. And we know that the heart has always been to see people who are far from Jesus come get to know him and find life in him. And we're all about that, and we just want to support that and invest in that.
I think when the vision was delivered, we just really connected with it in our hearts right away. We knew that it was something much greater than us.
But we just felt the Lord tugging at our heartstrings to make a commitment and to follow through with it, be obedient to his call.
We knew that people had made a sacrifice to build this place and get us here, and it made such an impact in our lives that we had to pass that on. We couldn't just hold on to it. I had to invest in the bigger picture, in the long range plans that the Lord had for the Father's house.
When we went out to the groundbreaking, and we, you know, you buried those stakes in the ground, and we have our kids' names on them and our kids' hearts. And I just really believe that someday our kids are going to be in that building.
Seeing people's lives change now through small completing and through doing adopt a block and serving, and I'm seeing that. And when I'm going to the building, when I'm praying out over it, I'm seeing a glimpse now of what we're walking in, but it's even more so. There's more coming. There's more broken people coming that need to be ministered to, that need to know who they are. And that's what I'm praying out, is that God will bring his children home.
And literally, there was one time where Rich said, God's telling me to drop this amount of money down right now. And we're like, okay, I guess we'll do it. And not even the next day, check in the mail shows up for us, and it says, Pastor Rich, we just want to bless you with this and use this money towards whatever you need it for. And it was like, okay, only God can do this. The exact same amount matched completely. It was just Jesus.
we basically just decided that that commitment, it meant to us taking a promise and making it reality no matter what.
We were nervous about retirement going into this, and I can honestly say that one of the things that immediately happened was we just got total peace over our retirement.
The vision that David has always had is for the people, not for a building. It's always been for the people.
I encourage everybody to get on board and give it a try. You know, it can't hurt because all you have to do is just say no. But I say yes, and let's do it, and let's finish up strong.
You're generous, you give. Your heart is His, and He takes care of you. He takes care of the rest.
You know, buildings are just buildings, but what a tremendous tool to allow us to reach and to minister and to serve our community.
Get engaged, be obedient, and just go for it, and never, ever look back at what you've done, but look forward to what you can do.
Awesome. Well said. During these couple weeks together, we've been looking at some of the history of the life of King David, Shepherd Boy David, Psalmist David, and we know this. His lifelong passion was to be with God, to be in the presence of God, and to build a place for the glory of God. I think that's the starting point for all of us. Wherever you're at in your journey, is to find that desire that says, I want to know Christ, I want to be with Him in the place of worship, and then I want Christ's name glorified. If that's the desire of your life, what you will find is you will find yourself connecting with other people of like precious faith, the Bible says. You'll find yourself walking with other people that are going the same direction, that want to see Jesus glorified. And together, we become an army. We become a force that's much greater than any individual. And we become something that is so significant in the earth because of the promises of Christ that His bride, His church, would overcome, and the gates of hell would not be able to resist the offensive attack of the church. So that was David's desire, this place for the glory of God. And so that resulted in a lifelong passion to worship, to play his instrument, to sing songs, to build a house for the presence of the Lord, and to give. It came right down to giving of his own substance. And I'm going to read you a few verses about an offering in 1 Chronicles. Look at this, chapter 29. In the Message translation, this is King David speaking. He says, I've done my best to get everything together for building this house for my God. All the materials necessary, gold, silver, bronze, iron, lumber, precious and varicolored stones, and building stones, vast stockpiles. Look at this. Furthermore, because my heart is in this. Because my heart is in this. In addition to and beyond what I've gathered, I'm turning over my personal fortune of gold and silver for making this place of worship for my God. 3,000 talents, about 113 tons of fine gold. Yeah, David was doing just fine. He was okay. And his retirement plan was intact. 7,000 talents, 214 tons of silver for covering the walls of the buildings and for the gold and silver work by craftsmen and artisans. So there's a principle here I want you to see. David wasn't saying, hey, I'm the king, and so do what I say. That was not where he was at. He was saying, follow me in my example. He led by example. And all of his leaders stepped up and led the nation of Israel by example. So if this is your home church, or maybe you're looking for a home church, I'm very encouraged to say that all of your pastors, all the pastoral staff, our care pastors, the leadership of this house, none of us are saying, hey, do what we say. No, every one of us is saying, follow us as we follow Christ, in bringing and investing and giving, just as King David did in the Old Testament. And then he asked this question, which is really the question. And now, how about you? Who among you is ready and willing to join in the giving? Key phrase right here. Ready and willing, the heads of families, leaders of the tribes of Israel, commanders and captains in the army, stewards of the king's affairs, they stepped forward and gave willingly. They stepped forward and gave willingly. Let me just give you a little bit of insight on how a life of generosity operates, what a giver really looks like. And it applies to our special weekend, but it goes far beyond that. Here's something I never want you to forget. When you give, if it's to a nonprofit, if it's to an organization, stop cancer, fight this, fight that, or to a local church, here's a key. We are to always give with a willing heart. Give with a willing heart. Don't ever give because someone shames you into it, condemns you into it, peer pressures you, manipulates you, sob story, any of that coercion. If you ever feel that in any setting in the area of giving, the best thing to do is just to step back and breathe deep and say, yeah, I'm not going to give right now. How many of you just really hate high-pressure sales? Anybody besides me? I mean, like, you buy today, you got to do this right now, and I could share some stories with you, but there's something in me that just, if I have to sign on the dotted line before you leave, then I've already made my decision. Anyway, moving on, I'm just venting, and a little therapy, because it's the final service of the day here, and that's what I do with y'all, so thanks for being on my counseling team. I need a couch up here. Here's a verse. Here's a great verse for you. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Remember, stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time, think it over, and make up your own mind what you'll give. And that's the way we operate as a church. And in this giving campaign, I've asked you all to take a decision card. If you're married, pray with your spouse. Pray separately. Come together. See who has more faith. If you're single, you and Jesus, get together with a friend. But take some time. Make up your own mind. And when you're ready, then make that decision based in faith. And he goes on to say, it will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting because God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. So here's a principle. Whether you give to a building, a nonprofit, a church, an organization, there ought to be something in you that's excited about giving, a cheerful giver. You're actually like, I'm pretty buzzed to do this. I'm pumped. Now, you know, my checkbook says don't do it, but my faith says you got to do it. And I'm wondering how much I should give, but inside there's a desire to be a willing giver. That's the number one principle. And then here's another one. You got to give in light of God's capacity to provide more than enough. Now, here's the difference between having a fixed income, which most of us do, having a fixed income and being a person of faith. As Pastor Jenny just shared, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. At the end of the day, I am not an owner, I'm a steward. I'm not an owner, I'm a manager. And the wealth that God gives me, then he gives me actually the responsibility of either hoarding it and hanging on to it or investing it back into his kingdom so that he can entrust me with more. That's the principle of the talents. And so in that, I have to cross over this line of faith and realize my capacity to give or produce wealth is not in and of myself. And there's a deception and a lie that gets on people that says there's only so much pie. And you know how the pie is cut up, right? This pie's rent, this pie's car, this pie's college, this pie, you know, you're out of pie before you're out of bills. I get that. But enter the supernatural of God. And it's so clear in the Word, when we entrust him with what we have, that's when multiplication happens. So David made this statement later on in the chapter. He said, God, it all comes from you in the first place. It all comes from you, and I want to live like that. I want you to live with that understanding. Chapter 29, verse 13, he's praying now. He says, oh, our God, we thank you, and we praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We're here for a moment, visitors and strangers in the land, as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. So understand this in your life of giving, that your capacity is not based on your current income. It's not based on your past track record. It's based in faith. And there's something great on the other side of commitment. In just a moment, the band's going to come and we're going to pray. But let me just say a statement about commitment. Because on the other side of commitment lie great things in your life. And you've seen this, whether it was a commitment to a job, a college education, to a relationship. On the other side of commitment, there's some great things waiting. Now, for some of you watching and in this meeting, you need to make this commitment. Jesus, I'm not holding back anymore. I give you my life. You know you need to get your life right with God. You know you need to get free of some things and fully surrender to Christ. But then you're like, well, what happens if I do, and my friends and my stuff, and I got these addictions, and don't worry about all that. When Jesus calls your name, you step over that line of commitment and say, just as I am, here I am. Jesus, take me. I'm all in. And at that moment, great things begin to happen in our life. Another group of people, church-going, Bible-reading believers, that give you this analogy. Instead of being on the playing field with the team, they're still up in the cheap seats and in the stadium seats watching as spectators. And the commitment level for you is this. There comes a moment where you realize, you know what? I need to get involved in the game. I need to have skin in the game. I need to serve and give and invest. Maybe open up my home for a small group. Maybe serve on a Saturday ministry team. Maybe get involved in Grow Track so I can lead other people and invest with my finances. The next level of God's interaction in your life and the next upgrade, so to speak, is on the other side of that commitment. It says, I'm not just a spectator. I'm in this to participate. And then the area of giving. That's one of the toughest areas because we all face this. There's that struggle that goes on. And I'm not wanting you to hear the voice of a pastor or the voice of a friend or any other pressure. What I want you to hear is just a sensitivity to the Lord. And remember, we talked about just being willing and being obedient. And when God says, this is what I'm putting in your heart, this is the faith challenge for you in this whole event, then that's your moment. That's your moment to either say, nah, I'm going to hedge my bets here, and I don't want to put myself in that kind of spot. Or you just respond in faith and step over and say, let's trust God. And on the other side of commitment, story after story, you heard a few of them. On the other side of commitment is the provision of God. One of the earlier services today, the early service, got done sharing this message. Couple runs up, so excited, so pumped. They're like, Pastor Dave, just got to share one thing. And I had never met him for the first time. Said, you did a series a while back called Blessed Life. You gave us a book. We read the book. And the wife said, yeah, I read it in one day. And it's like 200 pages. I'm like, wow, speed reader. Good on you. Take me a week to read that. But anyway, they read the book and they heard the message. And he said, we made a decision to step over the line to tithe and give and invest. And he goes, he named an amount of time. He said, since we did that, I think it's been almost a year. He said, here's what God has done. And he must be some kind of accountant. He said, the Lord has returned to us 386% of everything we've invested. Had a big smile on his face. He didn't say what that represented, you know, numerically, but I figured it's good. For all the math folk, 386% return is really good on your investment. And so that's what God does. And so he calls us to a place of commitment. And the last thing is there's a line to step over. 2 Chronicles verse 8 says, ready and willing, they stepped forward and they gave. Ready and willing.
For more information on our church and other teaching resources, log on to our website at tfh.org or call our office at 707-455-7790.